Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome everybody to another episode of Closer Encounters, the show where you, the listener, is also the guest. I am your host, Clarence Mitchell, coming to you live from somewhere in Minnesota. Closer Encounters is streaming live from Blog Talk Radio. We are also live on Facebook, YouTube, and Google Hangouts. For all of our newest updates, check us out on Facebook at www.facebook.com/Closer Encounters Radio. Don't forget to like, follow, and share. Would you like to be a special guest on Closer Encounters? Or do you know somebody that would like to be a special guest on Closer Encounters? Then just shoot us an email at closerencounters.info@gmail.com. That's closerencounters.info@gmail.com. Have you ever witnessed a UFO? Or seen something that you just cannot explain? Or maybe you've had your very own closer encounter. You believe in the ancient alien theory? We talk about this and much, much more. If you have a story, or maybe a question that you would like to get answered, give us a call. The number here is 347-989-1008. Again, the number 347-989-1008. Give us a call here at Closer Encounters. I'd love to talk to you.
I don't even know if anybody can hear me on the blog talk side. Well, we're obviously having some problems.
Okay, are you there? Hello?
Here we go. This is Norm. Hello, Norm. How are you here? There we go. You need to turn your live feed down.
You're breaking up. I can't hear you.
Yeah, we need to turn your live feed down. Connection on my live feed. I don't know what that was. You still with me, Norma?
Can anybody hear me? I can't hear you.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Hello?
Hello?
you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Hear me now? Does that sound okay?
I hear part of what you're saying.
Hello? Testing. You're still not here?
Yeah, I'm still hanging in. I just can't hear you.
I wonder what that's all about. Once in a while. I get it. I don't understand. Here's Tim. Let me see if I can get back. Hello, Tim, can you hear me now?
Hello there, sir. I had you for a couple of seconds there, and it's cutting in and out.
Okay. Well, now, is it still working? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, but it's still intermittent. Got a little bit of a problem going on there. Not sure.
Yeah. I'm having issues both ends tonight, but also with our live feed. I guess maybe because of the cloud cover, I don't know, maybe the satellite issues. I don't know if it's connected to things or not, but something ain't right here.
Oh, so, it could be. Yeah, that could be.
Yeah. I never really thought about it a while ago. Now, Norma on the other line, she said she can hardly hear me, so I don't know. But,
right. I don't know either. You're probably right about that, though. It probably has to do with a satellite signal. You know, it's disrupted from. Could be.
Yeah. That's the story of life. I went through with Bob today, and I thought we should take care of. And when we got done, everything worked. Okay, I just left. So maybe we'll can get a better container or something, I don't know. But anyway, yeah, we went to the system and everything was working fine when I got off the phone with them. So we could be good there right off the bat, you know.
Oh, man.
So,
yeah. I hate it when that happens.
Exactly. I try to get, I see people in on the chat room trying to get somebody to actually there. No good there either. I don't know. Oh, well, I guess we'll bring it up if we can. But yeah, I'm using connection to my feed, so I don't know what to do there.
Probably, like you said, it probably has something to do with the signal from the satellite.
Yeah, because the itself will run before it will run on the Wi-Fi off of the cell phone tower, you know. And let's see if I can't see here. Settings, connections, let's see what we got going on. As it's on, so. Well, it's on Wi-Fi, so obviously there's some. Here, so
man,
yeah.
Well, I'll hang in here with you as long as you're on, you know, and
cool.
You know, I just I've spent all day today, all this morning and this afternoon, going through some old archive lectures and some couple of ancient alien shows and this and that, but come across some really interesting information on Mars, and I just really want to share that, you know.
Good deal. It's the aliens, so
yeah.
I'm curious.
Ida, no, she's back in. I can hear you here on the computer and on the phone. Yeah. Yeah, and they just got unconnected again. So, yeah, I was just trying to be something with the damn weather. I've never had that issue with a phone before, so she's Skippy.
It sounds...
Yeah. Sounds choppy.
But it, oh.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, well, all I was going to say is what it sounds like to me is exactly what you're talking about, that the signal, you know, we have some of it is done through microwave cell towers and stuff like that. Goes from cell towers to a satellite and then back down to a cell tower and then across that way, you know. It just depends on what mode of signal that they're using. I don't know but it sounds just like TV during a storm. You know, if you have satellite TV during a storm, how it'll be intermittent. You know, it'll be choppy. The audio will come and go. Well, that's what it's doing right now. So
it's funny because they advertise. They always advertise this as 3G, 4G, 5G network. You know, and you suck out all this money to pay for it and do whatever and. Supposed to have the best connection and fast, and can't prove a damn thing to me. I'll tell you that. No way. Stop shit, bring it to my house. Figure it out.
this type of format also is fairly new. They're still, you know, it's still in the infancy stage. Just like cell phones back when they first started, you know. Well, shoot,
right.
A cell phone used to be the brick. You used to have to carry a little purse-like thing with you that was battery, that weighed like 8 pounds or 9 pounds, something like that, hung off your side, you know.
Right.
Yeah, that was. I'm glad we don't have to do that no more.
That's true.
Yeah, you know, as time goes, it will get better. It will get better and better and better, you know. But, you know, it's I don't know if it's the powers to be, or liberals, or what it is. I blame a lot of it on liberals. I really do. Because, well, it's just they're so stupid in their way of thinking and how they go about taking care of stuff, you know, that if
right.
you pay more, you get more. You know, if you pay this, you get that, you know, or better yet, they have people that you pay into it, and you're help paying other people who can't afford it. You know,
right
deal.
Right.
I don't know. I don't understand that part of it. I don't understand that left wing side at all. I really don't. I don't understand how they're going to work. It might work for a short term, but over a long term process, it's not going to be there. People are going to they're going to get fed up with it after a while and say enough is enough.
I got a trying to find out what other cord was here. Just in case I might be able to use this Wi-Fi box here, I can plug that candy. I'm just wondering to see if it will work. It's like a Wi-Fi adapter, you know.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know if it's automatically connected or not. But anything's better or nothing.
Sure.
What that moves, what happens. So.
You know, I'm just thinking about something. It might just be something really easy. It might be an easy fix. You might be able to do. I don't know how you could wire it in because I'm not that. I understand it, but I don't know the actual mechanics around how to wire it in. I'm not sure, but you know the signal enhancers that you used to get for cell phones, especially for truck drivers. Most of them are the best ones I've seen are built by Wilson Electronics.
Right.
And they have some type of a
of a signal enhancer. You know, they make the signal stronger. It might be something that you know, you might have to have something like that to help it.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I remember that. I used to have a small 7-10 or antenna outside the truck. But you had to plug that into your cell phone itself, you know, amplified antenna. And I don't know if it really worked or not. But,
well, I've seen all the different types. I've seen the one that you put inside your phone that has an extra antenna type deal that goes inside the phone itself.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about?
Right.
It's like a little pad that has metal, electrical circuit. It's made out of it's a wide band of metal that, you know, circles around and does little loops and stuff, you know, on the path.
Right.
I don't know. I really don't know how it's supposed to be make it better, but that's the cheap ones. But like you said, that one that you put on your antenna out there on a mirror mount, they work pretty good. Those are the ones that I've seen, the ones that I've used. I never owned one, but I used one. I borrowed one from a friend, and it worked pretty good.
Well, then you had to have the right one, because it took a special mini jack, you know, into it. Back then we had phones and razors and, you know, all kind of different things, so... Everybody was playing everything.
That was back in the day. That was back in the time when I had a friend who was an AE in the Navy. He was a aviation electrician and electronics. Anyhow. What he was doing is he was inventing this thing, and he did invent it. He made it to where you could use it. It would melt a radar unit in any kind of a cop deal, you know, law enforcement. You know, they use that radar. And what he used was a fish finder. And he increased the strength, the signal of a fish finder, you know, that sonar deal, and it would detect, it would let you know that you were getting that you had signal coming in, you had a radar signal coming at you, but what it would do is it would turn around the signal and shove it back at the gun, and literally melt the gun on the inside. I lost track of him. I don't know what happened to him. I haven't heard or seen him or heard from him for gosh. Probably a good 20 years, but he had this thing. There's a group of guys that were doing it. They were building, and I think that the law enforcement finally came down onto them. That's why they started really cracking down on truckers having a buzz buster or any kind of a radar detector inside the truck. It was around that because they were making this device that would literally kill the gun. It would send the signal back to the gun and kill it. I thought that was an excellent thing, man. I thought that was too cool, man. You know, here you go, big brother. You want to mess with us? We'll throw it right back at you.
No kidding.
But those guys like that are ones that those guys that are into that high tech electronics and stuff like that, and signal generators and all that, those are the guys that I really, you know, I'm amazed by what they're able to do and how they're able to come up with their little gadgets and stuff. You know, heck, I've seen people who had in their homes they had a setup that looked like the inside of the mad scientist laboratory. Oscilloscopes, telescopes, signal generators, all kinds of stuff, you know, going on. But they were those guys were one guy was a contractor for the government, and actually this is how I found out that what the government is doing to us. You know, we think that that they look out for us, and they're not looking out for us at all. You know, a lot of the microwave energy and stuff that we are bombarded with is, I think, directly responsible for a lot of illness that we have, especially cancer and stuff like that. You know, that's why it's on the rise, along with our diet, our food, the stuff that they put in our food. But it's something that always kind of raised my curiosity through the years is when we went to the signal for televisions and we lost all the VHF and UHF signal, and then went to strict either cable or you had to have that little box, you know, that would decipher a digital code. They went digital, and what they did that for is so that the powers that be could have a wider band spectrum to operate with. And doing away with everybody's TV and everything, that's why they, you know, oh yeah, we'll give you $5 for an old TV, you know, throw them away, because they wanted to get rid of everybody who had that circuitry, that UHF or VHF circuitry, because you can cheat into it, you know, you can tap into that.
Well, not only that, they charge you for your cable and your dish or whatever, you know, nothing was free.
There's no more free.
Surprise! Get away with it. The only thing that's free anymore is radio. And I'm trying to figure out a way to do it.
Well, they've been making it now to work. Sirius and XM Radio. They're making it now to where it's going to cost you to have free radio, you know, a radio signal, you know. But it's worthwhile, really. I mean, I had Sirius for a long time, quite a few years.
I still got it. Mm-hmm.
But I love it, man. You know, you can listen to the same thing for ever. You can go clear across the country and listen to the same channel and never lose that signal, you know. And that I love.
That's one thing you really like about it, but the one thing you don't know about it repeated stuff. The shows, they do repeat. They're not, you know, it ain't like every hour they change something, and it does repeat over and over again. So once you hear the whole, you're going to rehear it. But that's how it goes, I guess. You know. But all the channels, you can't really beat it. But yeah, I got my pickup truck. It comes you got to subscribe to it. You got to pay for it. But, you get it in your regular vehicle. Now, back in the day, we had to buy the box, remember, and put it on your dash. And you have an antenna and stuff.
Yep.
And, you know, sometimes it didn't work. Sometimes it did.
Oh, God. It depended. Yeah, if you got the cheap antenna, it wouldn't work with a crap. If you didn't have it pointed.
They had one for like $60, you know. Go figure. Funny.
I think this came out.
And, then they wound up merging, so I don't know.
Yeah, that was the same thing. I don't understand that. You know, I think they were the same. They were under the same banner all along. They just, you know, decided to kind of conglomerate. But I don't know how the FCC and everybody, Well, like for instance, one person can't own all the railroads in the United States. They tried.
Right.
They tried getting it. They tried passing it, but the Commerce Commission said that it wasn't that it was taking away the trade industry or the ability to have competition in the market. You know, but yet you have it going on with Sirius and XM now. They're the only ones that have the satellite radio. So,
right.
Where's right. the competition out there? They did away with the competition by, and nobody said a damn thing about that, you know. You know, I'm getting on a tirade there, yeah. But it's, you know.
I think for this, let's see if we can think. We'll see what happens here.
Okay.
Let's see. Hello, Norm. Is it you?
Hi.
Hey,
Norm.
Hi, Tim.
Here's now.
I'm having trouble hearing you on my phone.
Yeah, I can hear you real good, but Clarence is intermittent. His signal is not. I don't know. It's I don't know what the deal is. That you know, signal or what?
Yeah, I think it's this whole internet connection thingy I got going on. That's what I'm thinking right now. The other people for the time being, so because I am having problems with live feed, and so I definitely have headphones or something out there, you know, not in trouble with. So
weather.
I don't know. So anyway. I got to be with us anyway, regardless of the atmosphere. I came up with something.
Yeah.
I don't know if you read the list or not, but I came up with something, and I may be totally, totally off base, but I just wanted to have it out there for people and see what you guys might think. Of course, I may be totally dead wrong, but what I was bring the thing here real quick. We were talking about asteroids and meteors and stuff like that, you know, and I found this particular place that was like the biggest crater on the Earth, you know, or impact crater.
Yeah.
And also found this place. It was a meteorite. It landed in Africa. And, let's see if I can bring that up. Pretty good sized chunk of rock. They had no idea how it got to where it lays because there's no for it to sit in. You know? So, kind of looking at this and I'm putting it together and I'm thinking, geez, you know, I'm wondering if this. Big massive rock or crater, you know. And where is there? I got the one up. But anyway, if I can bring up here somewhere. Research. It's estimated to be 66 tons. And it had no crater when it fell to Earth. And I'm thinking, how in the hell did this happen? They said this, I need a little bit of this. It says some meteorites have made the news, and others, well, at least one did manage to wipe out the life of you know, on Earth, whatever. From 60 million years ago, the big piece of meat sent the dinosaurs in extinction, but that's a rare thing. What made the news in 1992 a far less hazardous incident meteorite was when a rock the size of a bowling ball crashed in a driveway in New York. With a loud bang, the rock maker on a burnt orange bamboo. For its size, the ball was astonishingly heavy, weighing about 28 pounds, except for the car, clearly there weren't any cavities. They were talking about this. In the case of a HOBA, H-O-B-A-T, right, however, is considered to be the world's largest known meteorite piece with a weight of 109,000 pounds. estimated around 66 tons. The strange aspect of all is that it left no crater once it fell to Earth. Scientists have suggested the mass of the rock apparently slowed down. It treated Earth's atmosphere. It slowed so much that the of terminal velocity as it was about to enter the Earth itself, which was in Namibia, N-M-I-B-I-A, in America. That is why the HOBA meteorite has remained intact. A big bulk as it is, never in history has huge or iron rock repositioned its attack point while excavated and been moved. And it's a picture of made to get a little light place on the building around it with steps looked at. We never see this thing. And, you know, whatever. A pretty interesting looking piece of rock. It's almost a square. But I will release it on the site here. You guys can read it. But anyway, let's see where it says the age of, which I don't actually agree with here. You know, due to the presence of rare radioactive isotope, experts have been able to determine of the meteorite, which is estimated at in between 190 million to 400 million years. And it ended its, now that's the timeline I'm having problems with, you know, 80,000 years. Now, with that in mind, I looked up meteor impact sites, you know, craters, to see what might possibly be close, and I came up with the Verde Fort Dome, which is like 200 miles away from this particular meteor, okay? And this impact site, here, it's the biggest meteorite impact that geologists have yet found on Earth, and it is nearly twice as big as the impact that killed the dinosaurs 65 million years ago. This makes it a site of great importance for scientists. It is also the oldest impact crater that has ever been found on Earth. It is mainly of these reasons that it has been made a World Heritage Site. Now, this is what they claim. They claim that the meteor impact happened 2,023 million years ago. At that time, there were no people or even animals or plants on the Earth like we see today. The only living thing was the type of an algae, like a green slime, you know, blah, blah, blah. To make a crater 300 kilometers wide, the meteor must have been about 10 kilometers across, which is as big as a mountain, and more than 10 kilometers per second. The Verde Fort Dome is only the center central part of the impact crater. It is called a dome because the rock layers were bent into the shape of an upside-down bowl some 90 kilometers across by the impact, which is pretty crazy when you stop and think about it. So anyway, here's my thought. You take this meteor that they found, which is, like I said, is like 200 miles away, and then you have this massive impact site. I don't know, but to me it would seem like maybe this giant meteor had struck into the earth and formed this giant hole, and possibly a chunk of it broke off during impact, and maybe it was pelted, you know, another 100 miles or better, and the ground is rolling, tumbling, until it flopped over and came to rest and is what we know as the Hobo meteorite, you know. Now that's just my synopsis, my theory. I don't know how good one it is, but I'm wondering if it came from that particular crash site, you know. And if it did, why they didn't put?
Huh. Yeah.
Or am I totally wrong?
No. You having that closeness now. Now, how far away did you say they were from each other?
About 200 miles. Or no, wait a minute. I'm wrong about that. It's actually, I have this. Hang on just a second. Let me let's see here. I can tell you because I actually did a small write-up about this. Let me just scroll down here. This is on my page. Come on now. Let me get down to it. Here we go. Right. Nope. Hey, wait, I'll catch up real quick. Let's see here. Right. Come on. I'll tell you exactly what I came up with here. It's been some time since I actually put this together, so it's kind of like down at the bottom of the page here, and I got to wait for Facebook to let it load. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. Get down past all these other posts. What I should have done, I was stupid about it. I should have pinned it right to the top of the page.
Yeah. I lost your signal altogether now.
Okay, Jim, you still with me?
Yes, sir, I sure am.
Okay, here we go. Yeah, I got dropped there. I had a drop call. I had to reconnect again. You know, this is going to be one of the nights. Okay.
Yeah.
Pin this. I am going to pin this down to the very top of the page. And bang, there we go. It is pinned. So anybody in the Close Encounters page right now, it will be the very first thing you see if you found the page.
Okay.
Now, this is it's an older post. It was, I can't even pronounce her name, posted it way back in September. And I kind of took the two things and I was playing around with them and, you know, whatever. And I made the kind of, I did a write-up and said, two things came to mind when I seen this. First, this is a piece of the meteor that hit the Earth in dino days. The impact site may be hundreds or thousands of miles away. This piece tumbled to its resting place. Okay, that was the first thing I came up with. Then I went down in the comments section and I actually posted the impact site, and I wrote, after doing some research, I think I know where it came from. It was posted, and I thought, roughly 1,400 miles. So that's what I thought. It was 1,400 miles apart from where it sits, where the meteor sits, and where the impact crater is. So to me, still, I mean, if you're talking an impact crater the size of what they're talking about, I still see it could happen, you know. Just my thought. I mean, you know,
yeah.
It may have rolled, you know, it could have bounced, hit, and rolled another 1,000 miles. I mean, who knows, you know?
Sure, could have, with the velocity. I think. Well, see, that's happened because what is that called? It used to be called Crater of the Moon, out there in Winslow, Arizona. Now it's called called Southern Crater. It's called gosh, I know what it is, but
I know exactly what you're talking about too. Yeah.
Anyhow, that impact crater, it looks like it came straight down. I mean, instead of coming through the atmosphere on an angle, it came straight down. You know, it was straight to the ground. It didn't come in on an angle. It didn't come across the sky. It was just straight up and down. Now, that I believe because I've seen it. I've been out there and seen it. And I mean, there's no indication that there's no angle to it at all because it looks like it's a direct impact because the little mountain ridge around the perimeter of the crater is even all the way around. So that suggests to me, now I'm just a novice geologist, that says to me that it, you know, that the back flow coming out of it, you know, the return flow from the impact came straight out. It didn't come out at an angle. Like, for instance, on the Tunguska impact, it never impacted the ground. The Tunguska meteor back in 1908, I think it was 1905, 1908, they said that it came in on an angle. You know, that one scientist figured out how it, you know, how it came down on an angle and actually blew up in the atmosphere. There was no impact crater because it disintegrated in the air.
It made such a from between the Earth and the meteorite itself had such force in between that it caused everything to wash out, so to speak. Like a major explosion on the ground.
Right. Uh-huh.
Yeah. That would have to be an awfully big piece of rock. You know what I mean?
Well, see, it could, but now I've heard some scientists talk about it. I've listened to some presentations and some lectures on it, and they said that it's different. Why it doesn't happen that way all the time is because different meteors are made up of different compositions. They are made up of different metals. They have different stuff. And they said that particular meteor was probably a combination of ice and some stone or some metal in it, but it was mainly ice. Came in and cooked up and then disintegrated, exploded. So that's why they never found any trace of any meteorite material or anything around that area because it evaporated in the air. And not only did it blow up and explode in the air, it also evaporated. There was no trace of anything left. So, you know, which I don't know. That is complete speculation. That's just somebody's hypothesis they came up with.
Right.
You know, that's just one thing I've heard. I don't believe that. I don't necessarily believe that is the case. But it could make sense. I mean, because I'm not, you know, that arrogant that I'm going to say that I know what it is or that it wasn't that way or it wasn't this way or whatever. You know, it could be. I'm not saying it is, though. It could be. It's possible that it could be that way. But, like, with this one that you talk, could have been a bigger chunk of a meteor or an asteroid or whatever. It could be just a bigger piece coming into the atmosphere. By the time it made ground impact, there was probably still enough of it left that it hit, made the crater, and then bounced, and then could have, you know, continue on and, you know, just keep on going.
That's right.
That makes sense. Because that makes perfect sense. I mean, like shipping a rock across the pond, you know.
Exactly.
The same. Yeah.
Now, my question is, if I'm correct, how come scientists haven't figured this out, being that they're not that far apart? I mean, 1,400 miles, it's really not, that's like half of the United States.
Yeah.
Let's just say this meteor coming and it hit on the east coast of New York or Massachusetts or someplace, and it caused this massive, this one place did, broke apart. Well, that particular rock would land here in Minnesota. It would wind up out here. You know,
basically,
that's how far away
of Minnesota or St. Louis or somewhere around that, you know, someplace within that distance.
And I'm often, and like I said, what really got my curiosity about that was the fact that it didn't make any crater where, you know, there's no impact site for it. And a rock that's like 56 tons, come on now, you know, it had to be something there, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, how could that happen? If it happened, it would be it had to roll and just flop over, you know.
Yeah.
That's my idea. I don't know. But.
Yeah.
It's humbling, you know.
Yeah. Yep. Well, I think that a lot of stuff like that around meteor, asteroid impacts and whatever, you know, meteorite impacts, they don't know everything there is to know about it. So they just come up with some bullshit story to give the public, you know, to tell everybody this is what it is and this is our findings, and everybody hears it and goes along with it and says, oh, okay, well, that explains it. That, because they know, you know, they must know because they're scientists. They study this, you know. And I'm like, really?
Exactly.
Are you all that? Are you? Is people really that naive that they believe everything that is told to them? But you know, obviously they are, because the majority of the population of the world believe that the pyramids were built by slaves, and that each rock was cut out, chiseled out by hand, and put into place, and whatever. You know, that's that whole thing right there. Going over and over again, but that same bullshit story that they feed people is the same thing they feed us, you know, about all these other explanations of everything, you know. And they don't. The thing is, they really don't know. That's what really gets me, because they know more about. They know more. Scientists, science today, knows more about the history of other planets in our solar system than they do what's going on right here on our own planet. We don't know all the creatures. We don't know everything that's in our oceans. I always believed, because I go by, you know, my dad always told me, you know, and I was taught and was told by everyone that the deepest point in the ocean is the Marianas Trench. Well, right. They really don't know if that's the only place that deep in the oceans, because they haven't. No one's ever done it. No one's done enough exploring or enough investigation to find out where these other deep places may be.
True. They know about that one.
You know, what gets me, and I found when I came across this, I had to check it like three or four times, make sure what I was reading was right. But outside of the Marianas Trench being at, 30-some-odd thousand feet deep 35,000, 32,000, 33,000 feet deep, something like that. The only other deepest place in the oceans is in the Atlantic, right off the coast of Puerto Rico. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
The second deepest, oceanographers and marine biologists have concluded that the second deepest point in the oceans is northeast coast of Puerto Rico, and it's something like 23,000 feet deep. It just drops off.
Wow.
It's just an abyssal drop off the, you know, you go out past the reef, and it just drops off, and just does a nosedive. And there's no reason for it. You know, they're trying to figure out, because there's no tectonic plates or anything, you know, which is the subversion layer. What they say is what caused the Marianas Trench was formed by two plates coming together, and one of them going underneath, one going down, the other one being on top, and formed the crevice that goes that deep. And I'm not really sure if that's what it is or not. That's what they say it formed it. But I'm still open for a big speculation on what really caused it. Because, like what you were talking about, that meteorite hitting the ground and bouncing and causing, you know, whatever destructive force. I've studied the meteor crater. That's what it's called, meteor crater. There in Winslow, Arizona.
Yep, exactly.
I've looked at it, and then I've come across a couple of aerial pictures. One of them that really, really fascinates me is the picture of the Grand Canyon from the space station, from the International Space Station, ISS. If you ever see that picture, it's on Facebook. I think you can find it on Facebook someplace. It's incredible. I mean, I look at it, and I've looked at this, and I've studied it, and I've told you this before. It was when that meteor impacted the Earth there in Arizona, that it cracked the crust, you know, which it happens, you know, it forms a fissures in the crust all the way around it, you know, going out probably 200 to 300 kilometers and radius from the point of impact, going 300 kilometers out, and it's forming a circle around. But that the geography and the geology going on right there in that area back, what was it, 150, 200,000 years ago, when that meteor hit, when the crater was formed.
Mm-hmm.
The ground around there was all different. And dig this. Now, this is something that also has given me some other things to theorize and to come up with a different theory on this, is that when it hit, it cracked the crust, the Earth's surface and the crust in the area where the Grand Canyon is at. And it just so happened that the Colorado River was flowing that way, and took the path of least resistance was through that crack. And as it went through that crack, it washed it out and opened it up. And you can see how, you know, when you see these aerial pictures of it from out in outer space, you can see how it makes sense. I mean, I'm not saying that I know that that's what it is, but I have a very good feeling that that's what it is, because not too far from there, in that same radial, if you go follow that radius on around, it includes Monument Valley. Now, Monument Valley is the only place, that's the only place that has the buttes and the mesas and that many of them in one spot, in one area. So not only did it crack the crust, it also pushed it up. It pushed up and caused those spires and the buttes and the mesas to form. Because there's nothing, there's no sign of erosion that they were, you know. My dad always told me, and I was under this belief, and what I've heard from other in school and stuff, you know, that what those buttes are, you know, are the inner core of a, and that it as it hardened, that's all that was left, and the outside part of it was softer material, and it washed away. But I got looking at it, and there isn't that much, there's not that much debris around there to suggest that. You know, I'm not saying that it wasn't, it could be, but I think it's more along the line that 'cause nowhere else on Earth is there that many buttes and mesas in one area. Nowhere. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, there's no other place with that has more than just a couple of buttes or mesas like that, some spires that stick straight up in the air. Someplace in Sudan, someplace in northern Africa, they got some there. And then in Jordan, there's some places around there that has some interesting geology. But it got me thinking about that. It opened up my thought process, and I could start looking at it and coming up with maybe another possibility of what caused all those buttes and mesas in the Monument Valley, what formed it. And it all flows in, you know, it all comes together, you know, it gives me some ground to have it gives me some substance to work off of, you know, to theorize, come up with my theories and my hypothesis on what that is. And I'm just saying this right now, and I need to write it down and explain it that way and maybe make it a little bit clearer, but I'm trying to just put it out there right now, you know, what we're talking about, you know, with these different explanations to meteor comp. One thing that really interests me a lot too is the big meteor that hit the Earth 63 million years ago, that supposedly responsible for wiping out the dinosaurs. There's no crater. There's no crater. You
know, and that's the thing. Now, reading that article, you know, about the Verde Fort Dome, it claims that, let's see. Where did I read that? It was the very first part. Biggest meteorite found yet on Earth. It is nearly twice as big as the impact that killed the dinosaurs 65 million years ago. So, with that statement, they're making a claim that they know of the impact. That they, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
How it's worded. It says, it is the biggest meteorite impact that geologically have yet on Earth. And it is nearly twice as big as the impact that killed the dinosaur 65 million years ago. Now, they say that if they don't know the credits.
Huh.
You don't understand that statement. I was under the impression that they never found it either. So what is it they're looking for, you know?
Right.
If this one is so big and so massive, why couldn't have this one been the one that killed off the dinosaurs?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
How the hell do they know?
They don't know. It's just like the eye of the Sahara. Now, I know I turned you all onto that, you know, and I know you all checked it out. You've checked it out. They're saying that it was a natural mud flow that formed that. And I'm like, bullshit.
There ain't no freaking way, man.
It's too big. It's too big. And not only that, but it makes a concentric. It starts in the center, and the rings go out. You know, they form a round pattern, and you know, it's concentric. It's not something that's on an angle. It's not off-centered. It's not something that flowed. There's ridges in between. That if you're there, if you go through that area on foot, you don't see no recognizable thing of what would look like a crater to you. It's not until you get up in the air and look down at it, and you have to actually get out into outer space to really see it and really get a good idea of what's going on there. But when I first seen it, I was like, why haven't we heard about this before? Why isn't this being taught in school? Why, you know, it has to do mainly around because they don't know what formed it. But it's to me, it's a pretty good indication that that's formed from that's an impact crater right there, buddy. Serious.
Yeah,
I mean, you know.
Sean Smith made a comment. He said the Flynn Creek crater. I'm not sure about that one. I've never really.
What's that one?
It's called Flynn Creek crater, Chesapeake Bay.
Oh, Chesapeake Bay? Oh, really? No, I didn't. I've never heard of that one.
I haven't done a lot of research
about where all the craters around the world. I've done some, but not all. I know the one that's in Ohio. I know there's a crater not too far from the spot where Serpent Mound, just to the northeast, I think it's the northeast or northwest, northwest of Serpent Mound in Ohio, is where this other big crater is at. And this one, you can actually, they can see it. You can see it from the air. And it's not really that gargantuan, but it's still pretty good size. But all around that area, the ground, the rock has been shows signs of vitrification, which means that it had been melted. That rock had been heated to the point of melting, and that tells you right there that was an impact, buddy. That was a fiery ass impact crater right there. You know, there's no denying that one. You know, but they said some geologists have also said they found a spire that was right to the side of where the Serpent Mound is at, that's made out of some kind of strange material. It's not
really
indigenous to that area.
Huh.
I think it could have been part of maybe a chunk of the asteroid or the meteorite that hit there, formed the crater. Yeah, it's a. They said that from what if I remember right, that this rock once stood up right at the mouth of the serpent, and was some type of had some kind of significance. That was why it was there and all that, and why they built Serpent Mound in the first place was there because of that, because it's a special location that they found. But see, this comes back to what we talked about before, being a highly technical society, being here in North America, that was wiped out.
Yeah.
That was wiped out. You know, hundreds of thousands of years ago. You know, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of years ago. But any trace of it is pretty much gone. And it wasn't until I didn't really get my head wrapped around that until this is going back to movies. Well, Hollywood duplicates reality an awful lot, but that damn movie, Rogue One, the Star Wars story, I highly recommend. If nobody's seen that movie, you have to see it, man. That it's incredible. But when they're when the Death Star hit the city of Jedha and caused the upheaval, the special effects that's used there is just boggles my mind. How are they able to figure out that it would do that? And once I seen that that's what was going on, I said, well, shit, all that stuff is, everything that was there is completely wiped out. It's gone.
Exactly. Yep, well, totally gone.
What's to say that that didn't happen here in North America from either meteor impacts at Meteor Crater and at Ohio and the one at Chesapeake Bay? Those didn't wipe out any trace or any sign of a technically advanced society living here on the continental U.S. Anyhow, it just opens up that it gets my juices flowing into that speculating, you know, that what if. And I start looking at other stuff around, you know, and I'm starting to look before that movie came out and before all this around the country and some of the mineral deposits that are different in different areas, not all the same. I mean, we're all one continent, but for being all one continent, there sure is an awful lot of different rock and strata.
That's,
you know,
true.
You can see it in the highways where the highway's been cut out, you know, going through a mountain or something. You know, you can see the strata. You can see that right there, you know. And one place where I see, when I first got this, when it first came to me, and I first got this theory on this, I was driving a truck in the oil fields of California, and out on the southwestern edge of the San Joaquin Valley, there's part of the mountain range that goes down through there that I believe is the remnants of some type of a technology that was going on there, because there is a deposit that's there and there's a smell that's in the air there that's from the ground. It's where they're mining. They've been mining that stuff right there, and it's not oil related. It doesn't have anything to do with oil or petrochemicals or anything like that. It's a smell that I can't describe it. It's not like like old oil or anything like that. It's not like it's not something that smelled like something decaying, but it's a smell that you could go, ooh, what the heck is that? And it's the only place in the whole United States that I have seen that smell. So that told me that there was something that was going on there that was destroyed, and that all that's left there now is that deposit. And it's a dark black looking deposit. It's in the ground. It's around the, like where the roadway's been cut out and stuff. You know, you can see it in the layers of the ground and in sedimentary rock. You can see it there. And it's not coal. It's not coal. I've asked people if there's coal deposits around there. No, I've never had any coal around there or anything. So it's not that. It's something else. And it was formed, I think it's some type of a waste byproduct of possibly some type of a plant that they had there that was making or changing, taking raw materials and catalyst to it and changing the molecular structure to make whatever they had, whatever they were making there. I'm not sure what it was, but this is just my thought. It came to me and it hit me like a lightning bolt. And Clarence, you know when it happened is now before about a year and a half before I had my encounter with the entities. Out there in you know, what I was telling you about, you know, the story I told you about what I come across, you know, and finding, coming in contact with interdimensional beings here on Earth. For that, before I had that encounter, what was the catalyst that got me going on everything was I seen a UFO. Well, I don't know what UFO. I seen this falling star that dropped out of the sky right at sundown, right at dusk. And I thought it was the evening star. I thought it was the evening star at first. I thought it was Venus.
Right.
Because Venus is usually in the, you know, it's the brightest star you'll see in the early evening star sky. And I got to looking at it, and I was out walking my dog, and he started freaking out. He started getting really edgy. I said, "What's wrong with you, boy? What's up with you?" And I looked up, and I just happened to look up, and when I did, well, he was looking that way. So I looked over that way at him, and I seen the star that looked like a star, and then I looked at it again. I said, "That's not a star. It was teardrop-shaped. It was teardrop-shaped, and it was trailing off the pointed end of it, you know, not the downward side of it, but the upside of it was dark. It was like black. It was leaving a black trail behind it, but not leaving a smoke trail. It was just leaving it, you know." And I got to looking at it, I said, "Holy shit, what is that?" And my mom and dad lived on it. They had it right down the street from where I was living at. They had an upstairs apartment, and they had this giant, huge picture window in their bedroom that was on the second floor. So as this thing came down and I was losing sight of it because of the ground clutter around, I ran up to my mom and dad's place, and my dad was at work. My mom was the only one home. And I said, "Mom, I need to use your bedroom for a minute, and I need your binoculars in your bedroom." She said, what's wrong? I said, "Nothing." I said, "It's nothing. I said, I just need to check out something." She said, "Okay, sure, go ahead." So I went in there, and I pulled back the drapes, and this huge window, I mean, a huge, huge window. I had a panoramic view of this thing, and I watched it come down out west of where I was at. About a mile and a half, 2 miles west of me is where it came, where it landed at. And it sat there above the ground about probably what I could estimate probably 10 to 15 feet off the ground, because there was trees in that area. There was a tree line right there between me and it, so I couldn't get a clear view. I can only see partial, you know. But this thing was a diamond. It looked like a diamond, and it was floating. It was real small, real subtle, and going back and forth and up and down in this one area and just staying right there. And then all of a sudden I started seeing these cars coming out of there. And these cars, their headlights were like modern-day LEDs. But back then, we're talking about 1989, 1990, 89 and 90. We didn't have LEDs back then. Not that many. You know, there might have been one or two around, you know, some exotic.
Yeah, yeah.
But this was a lot. And every vehicle that I seen coming out of this area had these lights. It had these type of, you know, they were kind of a had almost like a violet hue to them, kind of like a purplish color to their light. Not enough to really notice, not enough to be noticeable, but you could see it. I mean, if you looked at it, you would notice, "Oh, that's pretty cool." Yeah, and then just go, you know, people would just go by on their way and just think nothing more of it. You know, but I'm up there and I'm observing this thing, man. And all of a sudden, then I got to looking, and there's this, I thought it was trees along the Rosedale Highway out there. I thought it was a trees out there. I thought eucalyptus trees or something. I was looking through these high-powered binoculars, so I'm getting a pretty good view of this. You know, I'm seeing it pretty well. I can't remember the exact power of them. 10 240, is that right? 10 by 240, 10 by 250 power of the. They have the offset lenses in them. But I got a pretty good view of what's going on there, and I could see that's not trees. They got some kind of a cloud out there. That's some kind of a forming a cloud dancing around, and I can see it rolling, going up and looking like trees, and then it would roll and then come back down. And I was like, holy cow, that can't be, that's not right. Well, I got looking at it. I got, you know, really, really looking at it extremely well after that. And that's when I seen this thing shoot out of this diamond-looking contraption, this diamond-looking thing, this sparkly thing that was, like I said, back then there was no LED lights, and this thing is brilliant white and blue and red and green and yellows, and all these colors are really, really brilliant, really bright and brilliant. And I see this thing shoot out. Now, you're going to think I'm crazy about this. You think what I've told you before is crazy. When you hear this, y'all are going to truly think I'm crazy now. I see this black ribbon thing shoot out, and I tried catching it. I tried zooming in on it, you know, changing the focus on these binoculars, you know, trying to find out, see what the hell that was. Well,
yeah,
I finally pulled the binoculars down and tried just getting an open air view of what it was, and I seen this thing, and it's going through the air, and it shoots up about probably 300 feet, I'm going to say 100 yards, about 300 feet away from me, up in the air at about a 25 to 30 degree angle going up. This thing turns and comes right down to me, comes right down to the window, and comes right through the window, doesn't break the glass. This ribbon comes through the window. It tears a rip in the fabric. It kind of tears the glass and kind of makes a little glow. And this thing comes through the window and hits me right in the forehead. And ping! Instantly, my ears started ringing. My dog freaked out. He's under the bed. My ears are ringing. My hair is literally blowing in the wind. And I'm trying to catch my breath. And I'm going, what the hell? And when everything died down and everything cooled down, I'm looking around and I was hit with this thing. All of a sudden, I knew the secrets of all the mysteries of the world at that moment. And that specific knew that everything that I knew was the truth. And it all made sense. It all made perfect sense. It all set together. And so that set me on my way of making a confirmation of what I was given, of the knowledge I was given, and confirming this to where I could bring it to. And that's one reason why I'm on this quest that I'm on, and the quest for truth, and opening up myself to other things, other channels, other places, because I have seen things that most people would think was completely impossible. I mean, if I hear myself, if I was to hear somebody saying what I just said, I would go, man, what were you tripping on, man? Oh, you got some mescaline or some peyote or doing mushrooms, or you dropping some acid or what, you know? And I hadn't been doing no hallucinogenics at all. Nothing. I was drinking beer back then. I was drinking some beer, and that was about it.
Yeah.
And
Jim, I hate to cut this off, but we're getting our 1 minute warning already. I can't believe it's already
already.
Yeah, I'm looking at the time.
Damn.
How the hell did that happen?
I don't know. We go through these time warps, man.
I'm telling you, it seems that way. It really does. It's unbelievable. I'm gonna try to get back on tomorrow night.
Okay.
See, this thing is just too fast. But anyway, I'm gonna do another show tomorrow night. I want to get in as many as I can before I have to go back to work. And I apologize to everybody for the glitches we've had in a couple past nights. But hopefully, we'll get a good solid night one night that we don't have to worry about this. But I think that's where it kills up most of our time is monkeying around with that stuff. But in the meantime, we'll pick this story back up, Tim. I want to hear the rest of this. I want to know what
okay.
happened.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey. Well, the rest of it pretty much is self-explanatory, Clarence. It pretty much what I've been experiencing is it come about after that.
It's awesome.
You know, I've been in contact. I'll say that much. I've made contact, with more than one. You know, and I don't know if it's all of the same interdimensional entities or it's different dimensions or whatever, but in our world, and it is real, and it's around us. And if we open ourselves to it and we open up our minds and our hearts, that we will find the truth. And that's what it takes, is to open your heart up and open your mind up to thinking outside the box. And that's where I'll leave that at tonight.
Cool. All right. Well, we'll leave it at that.
Okay.
Right. Well, I want to thank everybody for being with us,
man.
And staying with us. And Tim, it's great talking to you as you always. And like I said, we're going to be back tomorrow night. So please, you know, in the meantime, be safe out there, everybody. And thank you. All right.
You bet.
Have a good night, Tim. All right.
I want to thank you all for listening to Closer Encounters. Please remember to like, follow, and share. And until we meet again, keep your eyes to the skies. Thank you.